the UEFA Champions League final. I know you'd be getting up for this, mate. Love your joker, Benito. Between Man City and Inter Milan, it takes place this Sunday morning from 4:30 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. It's live and ad-free and on demand in stunning 4K Ultra HD on Stan Sport. To start your 7-day free trial, visit stan.com.au/football. Now, the man who is going to be guiding all Australians through that magical Champions League final is none other. He's a dear old friend of ours, isn't he, Fletch?
Oh, he's the best.
He is the best. Please welcome the B-man, Mark Bosnich. Are you there?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for that lovely introduction. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Boz. What are you doing this afternoon? You sound like you're in the car.
I'm in the car. I'm taking my 11-year-old daughter to her gymnastics here at Edgecliff. So I'm just wasting a little bit of time before I drop her off. So just driving around a little bit, taking in the sights. And other than that, radio after radio interview about what you just mentioned, Champions League final, and also the Europa Conference League final, which is the third tier European competition, which is tomorrow morning, like you said, on Stan and 9GEM from 4:30. That's West Ham versus Fiorentina. But a lot of it's been taken up, and I'm sure you're going to ask me about it as well, about Ange Postecoglou being appointed as Spurs' new manager.
What he has?
We should have asked him that, Brooksy. Why don't you have that in the rundown?
No, we were discussing it earlier. What a massive achievement. Like, to put this into perspective, like, no Australian coach has ever basically got near to the Premier League as a coach. It's just, I suppose it's a wonderful endorsement on Ange.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Fletch. I wouldn't say just yet achievement. I'll tell you why in a little bit, but I would say it's wonderful recognition, like you just said, that somebody who's started his coaching career here in Australia with South Melbourne in the old NSL, did Brisbane Roar, where he equaled the Australian sporting record for unbeaten amount of games, Melbourne Victory, coached the Australian national team, then Yokohama in Japan, and then Celtic. Now to go to arguably the best league in the world, definitely one of the best leagues in the world, but arguably one of the best leagues in the world, to a very sizable club. They're not a top-tier club, but they're right up there, is fabulous recognition. Now, coming back to what I said to you originally in terms of achievement, now it's time to achieve. Tottenham were poor this season. They were eighth in the league. They got knocked out of Europe in the round of 16. They didn't do well in domestic cups. They won't be in Europe next season. But what they can do is challenge for a top four place, or minimum top six or seven, so they get into other European competitions, and also for those domestic trophies, the League Cup and the FA Cup. So that would be, I would say the KPI for Ange to do. And the other big question as well is, Harry Kane's got 12 months left on his contract. Does he stay? Does he go? If it was down to me, I think it's actually a good time for both Spurs and for Harry Kane to part ways.
Yeah, because Real Madrid are sniffing around. I was going to ask you this, Boz, as a Premier League coach or a manager, as you look, would he have full autonomy on picking players, or he hasn't earned his stripes yet?
Well, that's a $64 million question. So each club have got their own different policies. Now, the one good thing you have to say for Ange is that Scott Munn, who was the former CEO of Melbourne Heart here, now Melbourne City, has joined Spurs as of two months ago, as sporting director. But the rumours, very strong rumours abound, is that Daniel Levy, the acting chairman, the club is owned by a chap called Joe Lewis, but Daniel Levy has got a very tight control on transfers. Now, Tottenham has spent money in the transfer market, but they're renowned, you can say they're infamous, if you like, of having a very strict wage structure with the players that are there. There are some players that are outside it. I think Harry Kane is one. So that will have a great bearing on the players that they will be allowed to have. Now, we know Ange's got a track record of being able to work within small budgets. Whether or not he'll have that type of control, only really two or three people will know that. But we'll know that by the type of signings. The other thing that's going to hamstring them a little bit in the summer now in the transfer window is the fact that there is no European football. So that's a big caveat for players that want to come, to play for Tottenham. Because normally, if players are coming to the Premier League, that means that they can actually go to other Premier League clubs. The fact that they've got no European football to offer for next season could play a big part in them missing out on some players.
Hey, Bozza, can you crystal ball it a touch for us? He's got his 4 years. Yep. How do you think Ange will go? Do you think he'll survive the 4 years?
Look, I'm biased, so I must say that before I answer this. I think he'll be a success story. Now, a success story for Tottenham is a different success story than it was to Celtic. That's all right. Yeah, I'm going to get Fletch started there. A success story for Tottenham basically basically means for me winning a domestic trophy, right? And when I say that, I don't mean the league. I think even the most ardent, loyal, fanatical Spurs supporter will admit deep down to you that they are in no position to win the league for the next, for at least the next 3 years. So that would mean an FA Cup or a League Cup. Now, they haven't won a major trophy, i.e. one of them two, since 2008. So that's 15 years. I believe that he can deliver one of them within 3 years. Whether or not he lasts that long will depend on how high he finishes up the league. Because qualifying for that Champions League in one of the top four positions is worth so much money to the club. And they're doing it quite regularly, especially under Mauricio Pochettino, who also took them to a Champions League final as well only 4 years ago. So that is what I think that success will look like for them. And a lot of it, again, will come down to the patience of the fans. That, you know, the fans, regardless of what anyone tells you over here, the fans are the be-all and end-all. And if the fans demand, they will get. So that a lot will do with that. And one thing that I'm very confident in, and I'm not confident, I can actually 100% guarantee to every Spurs fan around the world, his teams will play attractive football. Whether that marries up with success or not quickly enough for them, it will remain to be seen.
Hey, Brooksy's here. Bozza, hey, he's got a great one for
Bozza,
you.
Brooksy!
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining the show, Bozza, once again.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Brooksy. That's so, I know, so well-spoken, so polite. What a class act you are.
Well, I've got one question for you. I went back into the annals of Australian football last night, and it was off the back of Ange's signing. And I remember there was an interview back on the World Game with Craig Foster and Ange Postecoglou, and it got quite heated. And it's funny where those two gentlemen have come now. Like, Craig wrote a message, I think it was on LinkedIn or it was on social media, applauding the how far Ange has come. And you work with Fozzie, and I see that there's so much respect there, even though there was such a heated chat 15, 20 years ago. How has he made of, what has he made of the decision? Obviously, he's in support, but it's great to see the passion that was there 20 years ago for Australian youth soccer now come, and Ange Postecoglou is now our first Premier League manager. It's an amazing story from that conversation on SBS on a Sunday afternoon a couple of decades ago.
Yep, well, 100%. And I think both Ange and Fozzie would freely admit that that type of, I mean, I haven't watched the full interview, but that type of questioning, that type of scrutiny, that type is, if you really want a thriving, whatever the sport may be, but we're talking about soccer here in Australia, if you want a thriving soccer community, that needs to happen more often. But also the two protagonists in this case need to be able to do that. And then afterwards, you know, just like I was taught as a young kid when I used to play cricket, we said we go at each other's throats, this is what we do here. Then afterwards we go to the bar and we have a drink of water together. So that's the important thing. If things linger over and it turns from that type of competition to conflict, that's when it's no good for anyone. And it was great. We had that Monday night show on Stan Sports where we used to sort of do a wrap-up of world football, and we had Ange Postecoglou on, and he paid Fozzie a wonderful compliment about the work he does with refugees and human rights. And Fozzie's been the same in terms of Ange's progress as a manager. And when you look back, and sometimes that happens, you know, sometimes in the heat of the moment, you get mad at certain things and you sort of, you don't like somebody for a period of time. But I think if you look back, if you take constructive criticism, not personal criticism, but constructive criticism in the right way and use it as fuel for your fire, you'll find long term it actually will help you just as much sometimes as getting constructive praise.
I'm desperate to go to the bar and have a water with you one day. Boz.
Fletch, well, I had a water with you and Nathan Hindmarsh one night after the grand final at the MCG. Well. And after that experience, you know what? A lot of people would be burnt, but I'm ready to have one again.
That was a big night. That was a big night. I ended up in the back of a paddy wagon with no shoes on. The bloke took me to the casino. My shoe. I forgot my shoes. So I had to buy a pair of shoes and they were too small. So I took them off. And the copper, terrific gentleman, just picked me up, put me in the back of the paddy wagon, handcuffed me and beat the shit out of me.
Well, there you go. Well, I thought, well, when I left you and Nathan, yous were absolutely fine.
Yeah, no.
So far as I was concerned.
But then you weren't allowed to travel at all for work after that.
I got hammered,
that
was... Boz, give us a tip. Give us a tip. I want to score and first goal scorer, Man City versus Inter Milan.
Right, Man City to win 3-1. First goal scorer, I'm going to go for Erling Haaland. And tomorrow, I'm going to go for a West Ham 2-1 win after extra time. And first goal scorer, I might go for Cabral from Fiorentina for first goal scorer, but West Ham to win 2-1 after extra time. Right. So I'm going for a double English team win over the Italian team. Sorry, all my Italian friends, because they've done fantastic this year. Everyone talks about the Premier League and obviously La Liga in Spain and to a lesser extent the Bundesliga. But Serie A this year has had a team in each of the finals of the European competition, which shows how strong a league it's actually been.
Hey, Boz, there's talk about, we know Ronaldo's gone, but Messi, Lionel Messi, will he be going to Saudi Arabia, you think?
I think that's really on the cards. I think ideally what he wants from an emotional point of view, and his father touched on this week, and I'm sure the club wanted as well, but it's just going to be down to financials, is to return to Barcelona for one last swan song. Oh. His old mate, Xavi, is the manager there. They've just won the La Liga. Be great to have him there for one final, you know, for one final dance, if you like. But at the end of the day, when it comes to this time of your career, as you well know, Fletch, you know, he's looking to make sure that he's going to clean up as much as he possibly can. And right this moment in time, as we saw with Ronaldo, I don't think there's perhaps any club in Europe who would give him the money that a club in Saudi Arabia would give him. Karim Benzema's gone there as well.
Yeah.
So they're really trying to, obviously, you know, to make it into something very special in Saudi.
What's the standard like over there?
It's okay. It's much better. Look, it's much better than people realise. I think you can put your hand on your heart and quite easily say it's better than the A-League. I would say it would be the equivalent of perhaps a second-tier European competition. So I would say it would be somewhere in the range of a Scotland, of perhaps a Belgium. Their teams are very successful in, which is the biggest measure, in the Asian Champions League. And that's a really big measure. And with these players coming in, all it's going to do is improve it.
Yeah, I don't think the cum dog, our man, the cum dog millionaire, Jason Cummings, would be allowed to play in Saudi Arabia. I would think having a nickname of cum dog probably wouldn't go down that great with the locals. Thoughts?
It might not translate that poorly, though.
Cum dog?
Yeah, maybe it's okay in the native tongue.
Which would be?
Can we, what's it called?
Google Translator.
Babel fish it for me? Just find out what
would you
cum
go,
dog
Boz,
is.
In your heyday, and we know all the issues the Saudi Arabians have had with all this sports washing and the human rights, would you ever go? Is that something that would have
been? Of course I would. Of course
you
I would. I spent a lot of time in the Middle East. Dubai especially, it's been a fantastic place full of fantastic people.
Mm. Okay. Well, fair enough. I love your honesty.
What do you make of the Live Golf stuff? Professor,
100%, really good question. I think it was inevitable. For those old enough to remember World Series cricket, the late, great Kerry Packer really, for me, first started this, basically, you know, saying to these sporting federations around the world or associations, if you like, look, if you're not going to pay the players what they're worth, well, I'm going to do that and I'm going to put on the best show on earth. And he did do with World Series cricket. And remember at the time, it was a massive split and... But inevitably, if you look throughout history, both sides merged. In the end, you've had it before in rugby league with the Super League. You've had it in various other sports. It was inevitable it was going to happen. I took note of the surprise that some people had about it, but I am not surprised at all. It had to happen, you know, because there's no use. You can't. We've seen that before, and we've experienced it here. You can't keep going on with two separate competitions because, in the end, everyone's going to be a loser. So there was always going to be a compromise.
Good talk. Before you go, what's on the menu tonight, Boz? What do you want to whip up in the kitchen? Have you got anything you've
been working on? I have a rule in the house that whoever trains, so tonight it's my daughter's training, so she can choose what she wants to eat. Last night it was my little boy in Daceyville, so he chose what he wanted to eat. So I'm quite certain that she's going to choose a takeaway. They've had two cooked meals so far already this week. So I'm quite certain she's going to choose takeaway, and that will probably mean, I would say, she's not here right now, but that would probably mean Betty's Burgers.
Ah, Betty's Burgers. Yeah. You got to get them fresh, though. You got to get them fresh. I've worked that out.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Yeah, very true.
I tell you what's good, Boz, because I haven't
seen... What about you, Fletch? How's your steak going?
Yeah, I've mastered that. So I'm something more challenging. What I had the other day, because I thought of you... Last time I saw you, I was down the fish markets, and you just wandering around with your gum boots on.
Correct.
And your little Swiss Army knife on your hip. I tell you what I've got into lately, and I thought I'd never eat it.
What?
Sea urchins.
Yeah,
so
right.
They are phenomenal. So you crack it open.
Are you serious? How do you do that?
What do they look like?
So
on
this,
the inside?
You know, the sea urchins.
Yeah. What's on the inside? Meat.
Yeah, it's like
oysterish.
Yep.
Right.
Like a mussel.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really good. A lot of salt and pepper, a little bit of lemon. And, okay, you know, the Chinese love it. They love getting into that. Only your problem is don't eat it within earshot of people. A lot of slurping.
Oh.
So I sat down and I was surrounded by this couple. They were a Chinese couple, and I was having a yarn to them. And the...
Lots of slurping.
Lots of slurping in between some broken English.
There are cultures where the louder you eat is a compliment to the chef.
So
the burping and the slurping.
What about jamming four or five toothpicks in at the one time? What's that called?
I think that might also be a compliment. Jamming toothpicks into what, sorry?
Into your barries.
Were they doing
that? Yeah, they had like four and five. Like they'd leave one in the teeth and then get another one, jam them in. Like you're doing like...
Where were you eating, mate?
Like
where
you were
this?
Tiling a bathroom. So they were like the spaces.
Yeah. Compliment of the chef.
Compliment
of
the chefs. All right. Well, next time you do it.
Toothpicks.
Okay, toothpicks.
The bigger compliment.
All right. Well, Boz... good luck getting a park there on Edgecliff Road.
Yeah,
you got to go around the back there. I know exactly where you.
Yeah, I have. That's what I do. I just sort of.
Well, you know, there's a joint right next door to the gymnastics. It's called Taste of India. Go in there. And find out. Is it naan?
Yep.
Or is it roti? And then text back.
Well, okay, I'll text you back, but there are both, you know that. Yeah, and I think
we're learning
places. Well, places like the Malaya, that's a Malaysian restaurant, obviously, yes. there where I live, they have roti, they ask for roti, whereas in the Indian places generally call it naan bread. But I think they actually might be two separate things, although they cook very, very similar.
Would you ever go to a Thai restaurant and ask for roti?
I'll try it for you, just see what they say, just from a survey point of view.
No,
I do it every time. I won't go to a Thai restaurant that doesn't have it.
Well, you've made it up. I've just proven to you that Indian food, roti, Malaysian roti, Thai,
No. Then we deep dived into it, and there's many other cultures that have appropriated it. So the Jamaicans, the Malaysians.
Okay, well, let's just stop the fight.
East African.
Boz, rock in there to the chef there at Taste of India.
Find out for us.
Get some buttered chicken.
I will. Oh, and another thing to report to you is, and I'll give you a report about it next week, I'm going to go to the Manly Seagulls versus the Dolphins on Friday night. So there you go.
Good.
Go to the Seagulls.
Don't let those Dolphins get caught in the net. That's what I always say. That's dangerous.
Okay, Flipper.
That's dangerous.
Flipper. Thanks, B-Man. We'll chat to you shortly.
Take care, guys.
Hey, Boz, what does a dolphin sound like? How does a dolphin sound?
I've told you how a dolphin sounds like before. Let's not do that on the radio. I'll see you all in the morning for West Ham versus Fiorentina.
Do it.
Nah, you know how to do it. You've done it. I've heard you do it. You can do it. Yeah?
I can't do it. I'm asking you.
But you're much more natural at making a dill of yourself. You do it, yeah?
Dill.
That's
there we go.
Yeah, it's just the clicking, isn't
good
it?
Good with the urchin.
Yeah, good with the urchin. And the toothpicks. All right, toothpick lover. We'll see you later.
See you, boss.
Take care, guys.
The UEFA Champions League final between Man City and Inter Milan takes place this Sunday morning from 4:30 a.m. AEST.
Live on demand
is stunning 4K Ultra HD on Stan Sport. To start your 7-day free trial, visit stan.com.au.
Buonasera.
Football. You are, who are you just giving a tip of? You're not telling people to bet on?
No, I don't know the odds. I'm going Inter Milan.
Inter Milan?
Well, Man City win everything.
But this is it, man. Is this to get the treble, Brooksy?
How many teams have got the treble in the history of trebleness?
At least four.
Yeah, but it's been a long time. Have you watched Erling Haaland play?
Yeah, he's the Mickey.
He doesn't look real.
No, he's sort of a giant Nordic Viking. Yeah.
He looks like if you were playing a video game and there was a Viking.
He just gets in the right place at the right time. Has he like got a bigger head than everyone else? he's got a giant head. That's glass houses from
the velocity.
Myself,
yes,
just before the you got Bozza back on the line. Bozza,
that's perfect. Very good. Good work, Boz. Take your gum boots off.